Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, some houses make you feel uneasy for reasons you can't explain. This one waited until the middle of the night to make sure she'd never forget it.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is, and thank you very much for listening. Remember, if you have a real ghost story, it's really easy to share them with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. You can write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And wherever you are listening, just hit subscribe, hit follow. We would love that very much. I'm Carol Hughes, and Harper is with me today.
Hello. How are you today, Carol?
I'm good, thank you. Last time I saw you, let me think. Oh, yeah, it was at a wedding.
It sure was at that wedding. It was a very fun wedding. It was very beautiful.
It was so special.
It was. My dad, he was so happy. So it was really just a great time.
It was exactly what you want a wedding to be. It touches your heart in all the right places. And I was so glad I wasn't able to. I stood next to Harper. I was a groom's maid.
A
groom's person. But so I stood next to you, so I couldn't see your face. And I was kind of glad for that because I forgot. I hadn't been to a wedding for a long time. I forgot I always cry at weddings. And so it was just this beautiful wedding, and I could see your stepsister, and I could see her eyes tearing up, and then my eyes would tear up, and I'm like, I don't have a Kleenex. What am I going to do? And Todd's behind me, and Todd go, I'm not crying. Shut up, Todd. Quit, Todd.
I know Todd was crying.
He was crying. And then
I was crying.
Poor Tyler on the other side. I couldn't tell if he was crying or sweating or both.
I think he was about to pass out.
It was really warm in the room.
Worried about him.
It was really warm in the room.
It was.
Yeah. So, and he was standing. He was a bride's person. And so it was this really special, special day. So it got you in the heart. And then we had the most fun.
We did. We had a great time. It was really fun. And even like the night before the wedding, just getting to hang out with the Real Story Media crew. So Robin, Todd, Lisa, everybody.
It was like some people from Hidden Killers. So those are people I don't even work with ever. And so it was fun to meet them. Mm-hmm. And I had never met Todd before. So it was super fun to meet him.
It was also really neat meeting Siobhan and, oh my Lord, what's her name?
Jennifer,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a really cool, fun wedding. And since it was on the 4th of July, there was fireworks, really great fireworks.
Yeah,
right outside where we were. Yeah, it was just like everything. It was everything.
It really was. It was so much fun. Everyone had a great time. It was so cool.
Yeah, and I really, really, really feel like this is, like for your dad, you know, I'm really happy for him. I think him and Lindsay will be married forever.
Oh, I think so, too. I think they're the ultimate fairy tale couple.
Yeah, I think
because she literally looks like a Disney princess.
She does. And the weird thing is she looks like your mother. Like
she looks like she could be my mom.
Exactly. Oh, wait, yes, thank you for that clarification because she does not look like your mother. She looks like she could be your mother. Your mom and her do not look alike at all.
So nearly everywhere we go, it's always like, oh my gosh, you have your mom's hair. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I've just accepted it because Lindsay is my mom and I love her so much.
She is fantastic. And family is who you make it. I agree. She is just fantastic. So it was super, super fun.
It was
really, really
was
good
really
time.
Great.
The only bad thing is I didn't get to spend a lot of time with you because it was such a quick trip for everybody. Because pretty much everybody got there like the day before and then left the next morning. So it was quick.
But honestly, the majority of the time at the party, I spent with you.
Yep. We hung out. We got to hang out.
We did. We hung out.
It was just really special. Very, very special. So let's talk about a ghost story.
Sounds good.
I think we're going straight to a phone call. with this one. And don't forget, if you've got a ghost story, it's 855-853-4802.
Hi, my name is Jessica. I'm calling from California. And my experience started when I was 16 years old. I lived in Oakland, California at the time, 90th Avenue. Basically, we had moved into a house that was pretty old. It was a Victorian home, pretty old. And I mean, we were just glad to have a home. So we were just, you know, we didn't think twice. Everything was, we were just happy to just have a home, period. So we moved into the house and things didn't pick up. Well, I guess you can say things did pick up right away because I would get instinctive feelings of people staring at me from the back area of the house next to the washer and dryer and towards the back area where there's a back door and a window and a washer and dryer. So back there, basically, I would kind of stay away from that area. I always felt like something was staring at me, and it would be so intense to the point where it would make me feel uncomfortable, and I just would not want to be around that area by myself. One night, we come home from hanging out with our cousins, and we came home, like, you know, at nighttime, and we were just, me and my twin sister were in the living room. All the lights in the house were off except the living room TV, and me and her were sitting there watching TV. Now, I heard the door start creaking. I thought it was one of my brothers and sisters, and I couldn't see because the TV reflection was reflecting. I mean, the light was reflecting on myself and my twin sister on the couch. So we couldn't see anything past that light, which would be a dining room and then a little, like a door and hallway and then a kitchen. And so basically I was waiting to see one of my younger siblings coming from the back room, and we didn't see anybody come. So then the door just slammed shut. And I remember that startled me because the kids, you know, at nighttime, they didn't like to be up at night as it was, you know? So it just startled me. And I got up and I went running to the room. And I remember I was running pretty fast. I'm not running, but walking pretty quickly. And I went to the back room. And when I went to the back room, to their room, I started shaking them and trying to wake them up. And they weren't waking up. And I'm expecting to see a crack of a smile or then, you know, but nothing. There was nothing. They were asleep, and it was almost guaranteed they were asleep because none of them even liked to be up at that. They were scared kids. They didn't like to walk around in the dark or anything. It just really, when I knew that they were asleep, it sent chills down my spine. That I got goosebumps. I just immediately felt scared. Like I felt terrified. What I did was I started walking back. My twin sister was with me. Windows in the kitchen, thinking that maybe a draft or something. But I mean, it was summertime at that time. There was really no wind like that at nighttime. But either way, I checked the windows, and all the windows were sealed shut. All of them were closed. And so I just felt really paranoid, I guess. And I guess I just put the garbage can that my mother used to open the door that led to the kitchen, from the dining room to the kitchen. And I opened that door, and I put the garbage can there. And I go to lay down. And before I can lay down on the couch in the living room, I'm barely laying down, and that door just slams again. And when it slams again, my twin sister runs and jumps in back of me on the couch. And I'm in the front part of the couch. And she pushes, and she's hiding. And it's making me scared. And I'm just hearing this door. It didn't just shut and slam this time. It was opening, shutting, opening, shutting. But it was like if someone was doing it within like maybe 2 to 3 inches from the door. So it wasn't like opening wide. It was just like open, shut. And it just kept doing that. And I just remember I screamed. I was like, stop. And I was like, you know, screaming at it. And it started doing it. And it kept doing it faster. And then it just slammed really, really hard. And then when it did that, I immediately knew. I knew it wasn't the kids. I wanted to run to them, but I was so scared. So I went running to my mother's room, which was right there, because less of us started knocking. And I kind of banged on her door and her and my stepfather's door. And they wouldn't open the door, which was weird because they were light sleepers. And I just remember that I went back on the couch and I kind of hid a little bit. And I said, no, I need to go check on the kids. So I remember I went with all my courage. I went walking towards the door. And the door slammed again, but it opened, or maybe it was already open. I don't know. It was dark, but it just slammed again. And when it's slammed again, I just remember, I don't know, my first thing was like the kids, you know, I have to check on them. And I opened the door and nobody was there, no wind, but the intense feeling of somebody staring at me through that back window. And so I remember I just went, my sister came right in back of me and we went straight into the kids' room and I locked the door. We slept that night. Well, we didn't really sleep right away, but we fell asleep with the kids that night. And nothing else happened that night, but that was, to me, unexplained. Nobody was up. Nobody heard anything. The next morning, I asked my family, I asked my mother and the kids, what had happened. None of them heard anything. All of them were asleep. And so that just creeped me out. But what happened is about 2 years ago, my mother told me that she had found out that there was a man who actually used to, the man that she rented from, it was his uncle. He used to live in that used to be his home, and he ended up dying in that home. So basically, it was validation, and that home, you know, was, and then also my mother and them, you know, they've had their own experiences as well, and they were just like, wow, is this crazy that it's connected to a death in the home? So that's my story, and I just wanted to share it. And I guess it's some sort of comfort in a way, like saying like you're not alone. You know, you're not the only one that has experienced something crazy. But thank you so much for listening to my story. Alrighty, bye bye.
I do agree with what she said. I think it's nice to have a community of people who don't think you're crazy.
Yeah.
That was intense. It was like she had this really serious, intense night.
Yeah, it's so intense that I don't know if I think it was that uncle that was mentioned.
It felt threatening to
me. It did, unless the uncle was, well, not a great person, which I would like to know more about that guy.
Maybe. But I love how she was so protective. Like, she got up and checked on the kids, and everybody's sound asleep. Kids don't fake it well. And so if the kids were pretending to be asleep, it only takes like a half a second to figure out they're not asleep.
Yeah.
Because they tend to giggle really quickly. So if they're asleep, they're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was. But then at the end, she said, was it her mom had experiences too?
I think so. Yeah.
So there's something going on with that house.
Definitely.
You know, it just seems weird. Victorian houses, are they all haunted? I mean, as a rule,
most likely.
Do you think percentage-wise, most Victorian houses are haunted?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, it's one of those types of houses when you drive by, they just look like the kind that probably are haunted.
Right. They just have this aura about them that it's like, ooh.
And I think part of it is they're older and, you know, they've been around for a while. They've seen some shit.
They sure have.
I don't know. That was just really intense.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely haunted. Definitely haunted house.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely.
Well, let's go to this next story about a road trip. So it says, I thought I'd send in something that happened to my husband and me a few years ago. We live in Missouri, and my husband's parents retired to Arizona. Every few years, we make the drive out to see them instead of flying. It's a long trip, so we usually take a couple extra vacation days and stop along the way instead of trying to get there in a hurry. When we were planning one of those trips, my husband found an old motor lodge along Route 66. We both like those old roadside places that have been around forever, and it looked like the kind of place we'd enjoy staying for night. It had good reviews, looked clean, and was a nice change from another chain motel, so we booked it before we ever left home. The day we got there, we'd been in the car most of the day. We found a local place for dinner. By the time we got back to the motel, we were both ready to call it a night. The room was exactly what we had hoped for. It still had that old feel to it, but everything was clean and well kept. We watched a little TV, talked about what we wanted to do the next day, and before long, we both fell asleep. I have no idea what time it was when I woke up. I don't remember hearing a noise or being startled. I just remember opening my eyes and immediately feeling like someone else was in the room. The curtains didn't quite close all the way, so there was enough light coming in from the parking lot so I could see across the room without any trouble. I looked toward the window, and for a second, I thought there was a woman standing there. She wasn't looking at me. She was just standing there facing the window. I couldn't really make out any details about her face or what she was wearing. The only thing that really stayed with me was how sad she seemed. That was the feeling I remember more than anything else. I laid there for a few seconds trying to wake myself up. I blinked a couple times, rubbed my eyes. When I looked back, nothing was there. I remember thinking I'd probably had one of those dreams that seems real for a few seconds after you wake up. I rolled over and went back to sleep. By morning, I'd almost talked myself out of it. We packed up the car, checked out, grabbed breakfast, got back on the road. I never mentioned what happened because it sounded silly the more I thought about it. We'd been driving for a while when my husband said he hadn't slept very well, and I asked him why, and he said he had a strange dream. But I figured it was probably something funny or random. Instead, he said he dreamed there was a woman standing by the window in our room. He said the strange part wasn't that there was somebody in the room, it was that she didn't seem frightening. She was just incredibly sad, almost like she was waiting for someone. So I told him I had woken up during the night because I thought I had seen a woman standing in the same spot. He looked at me for a second and asked why I hadn't said anything before, and I told him because I had convinced myself I had dreamed it. For the next hour, we went back and forth trying to figure it out. Maybe somehow we'd influenced each other without realizing it. Maybe one of us had been talking in our sleep. Maybe we'd both just happened to have similar dreams after a long day on the road. What makes it so strange to me is that neither of us said a word about it until we were already back on the highway. If he'd never brought up his dream, I don't think I ever would have mentioned waking up during the night. We've taken that drive several more times since then and have stayed in all kinds of places, little motels, chain hotels, even a bed and breakfast once, but nothing like that has ever happened again. I've thought about looking up that old motor lodge to see if anyone else ever reported something unusual there, but I've never actually done it. Part of me thinks there probably isn't anything to find. The other part of me isn't sure I really want to know. I love the show. I probably listen too much. Thanks for everything, Marcy. Okay, so hypothetical. You stay in a hotel. You have a weird experience. The next day you and I are comparing notes. We're on a road trip. We're chatting. And I'm like, I had that dream. There was this woman standing there. You kind of have your experience. Would one of the first things you do be look it up and see if anybody's reported it being haunted?
Oh, absolutely.
Me too. Me too. I'm surprised that she has never looked it up.
Right?
I would Google it.
Me too. That would probably be like one of the first things I do even before I get into the car. If I'm getting up and even like when I'm packing my bag to like leave the hotel, I'm probably like going to be on my phone being like, is this place haunted? Yes
and
or no.
You know, the first thing we'd have both done the next day is I would have woken up and said, oh my God, Harper, I had the weirdest dream last night. Or mm-hmm. I woke up and saw a woman standing in front of the window. It was just for a second. She was gone. I don't know if it was a dream, but it was so weird. I would have blurted that out immediately. But, probably. You know, most people don't talk about paranormal stuff as much as we do. So I think maybe it might be like, he's going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah, that's fair. Sometimes I forget that having this much amount of dialogue about the paranormal isn't normal.
It's kind of normal to us.
It really is.
Kind of normal to us. But, like, I love the whole idea of finding one of those old motor lodge places and, you know, taking the long road trip. I think all of that is super awesome.
Right. I agree.
But I would have definitely looked it up. Because we talked about it on an episode of the Grave Talks, but I went to Boot Hill Museum in Dodge City. And, you know, it's like just what you think it would be. It's an old-timey looking town with boardwalk sidewalks and stuff. But there's an original house on the property that they moved there. And Boot Hill Museum was built on the Boot Hill Cemetery. They moved the bodies out, and that's where they put the museum. Did they move all the bodies out? I don't know. But anyway, I had a weird experience in that house that they moved onto the property, the Hardesty house. I got home and I Googled it. I was like, is that house haunted? And sure enough, there was a whole bunch of reports about that house being haunted.
And you know, even if they did get rid of all the bodies, like energy lingers.
Right. And when you think about the late 1800s, there would have been people coming through Dodge City that nobody really knew. You know, they're cowboys. They're just moving through, passing through. You know, there was people who died there that they didn't properly mark their grave.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It's not like everybody got a proper stone. They probably did it even with wood crosses or something. You know, so I think maybe the people who'd live there forever, they got proper nice stones because you got to pay for those.
Yeah.
But if you came through town and you died in a gunfight, which could have happened, you just got buried. So I didn't know until recently that was the case at Boot Hill, that it was built on the cemetery, which I thought made it super interesting to me.
You know, we should put that on our list of places to go.
Done. You've got the list right. By now it needs to be a spreadsheet.
It really is a spreadsheet at this point.
There's so many places. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would sure love it if you shared it with us. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and do that right there. If you would like to become a premium subscriber, get no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive, please do that. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.